In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we continue in the Gospel according to Mark, we discover Jesus is still on his way to Jerusalem. He's been in Jericho, and they're coming out of Jericho, headed towards Jerusalem, when he has this encounter. And we hear that as they're walking, this man, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, this blind beggar sitting along the side of the road, and as Jesus is passing by, he becomes aware, someone says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, is coming by. And as he understands this, he begins to shout and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this is sort of a unique thing. The first time we've heard this, for you to hear Jesus, son of David, doesn't surprise anybody, I don't believe, in this room. But at that moment, that would have been unique because we haven't yet heard that in the gospel according to Mark. Bartimaeus is calling out and with very intentionally making reference to Jesus as the Messiah. Now, there's a lot of things that could have influenced that. But the fact of the matter is, as Jesus is coming closer to Jerusalem, this is the last time that Jesus in this human bodily form will be in Jerusalem. The gospel is beginning to lay out an understanding of who this Jesus is. Just subtle. It's a little more subtle. And we hear this out of Bartimaeus. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he's shouting it. So of course the people around him immediately are saying, okay, settle down. Yeah. Clearly he's not Episcopalian. Settle down. We don't need all that shouting. Now there could be multiple reasons for that. One being there was usually somebody paying attention to what was going on in Jericho, because a lot of sort of Jewish rebels tended to hang around there. And they're thinking, don't start saying things like that, because the son of David is going to be what? A king. So they're trying to get him to settle down. It could be that. We don't want them to catch on. We don't want anybody to hear you referring to him as a potential king. Or they could just be uncomfortable, like most of us would be if somebody started shouting in here, and they're just saying, settle down. Either way, those around Jesus, and it doesn't specify who it was, are trying to control things again. Jesus does something rather interesting, though. After many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stood still and said, call him here. We don't know if Jesus is teaching or walking at this moment, or both. So he could have been sitting on the ground teaching, which would have been a normal sort of position for a teacher to be sitting. But either way, he says, tell him to come to me. So he invites the man to him. Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. There's nothing orderly about that. I mean, I'm imagining he's there crying out still, and they're like, hey, you know, he said, come. And he just throws off his cloak and he jumps up and he runs over to Jesus. How he did that, we don't know. People may be guiding him, but off he went. And then Jesus just looks at him and says, what do you want me to do for you? A question we've heard a couple times. The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Let me see again. So we heard him crying out for mercy. So those around him, if not he himself, would have understood the fact to see again means he had seen before. And he had lost his sight. So if he didn't recognize it as such, he would have been surely told that that was due to something sinful that he had done. He had been afflicted for something he had done. So he's crying out, have mercy on me. And he found it. He found himself in need. He found that Jesus was near. He cried out to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me. And he came. And while he was there, he expressed to Jesus what he was in need of. What his desire was to see again. And Jesus tells him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. Jesus comes near. He cries out obnoxiously. Jesus says, come to me. He said, what do you need? And he says, I want to see again. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Depending on your translation, you might be able to translate it as, your faith has saved you. And once he discovered that, he followed Jesus on the way. It's like, this is where I need to be. This is who I follow. And we hear that, and we hear this story of this healing, and we go, wow, that's really nice. And we wonder, what's that look like today? And as I was working my way through this, several things are running through my mind. And honestly, one of these days I should start making notes as to what stories I've told you and which ones I haven't, because I'm going to be repeating myself sooner or later if I haven't started already. If I have, nobody said anything. But it reminded me of a time several years ago now. We, in our parish, were doing the Alpha program. Have you heard of it? It's an outreach to help people come to know more deeply the understanding of this relationship with Jesus Christ. And you run it, you have a team, and you invite a bunch of people. And the goal is to invite unchurched people to come and find out. And I had a dear friend, I still do actually, one or two, this particular friend. His life was going in all sorts of directions, none of which looked like following Jesus. We have known each other since the fifth grade. That's a while. And we've made some interesting choices together in our lives. Some, actually no really good ones, just one good one. The rest weren't. You know, you got that one person you always got in trouble with if you were that kind of a person. Yeah. And I invited him to come. So it was a series of weeks, and we'd gotten to the final sort of weekend, and everybody meets on Saturday, and then everybody who comes to church with you on Sunday. And he showed up at my house on Sunday morning. And, you know, we're getting the kids ready. Of course, you know, they were younger back then. And as we're in the kitchen getting ready, you know, someone's knocking on the door. I'm like, not sure what this could be. I assume something happened at the church and they needed a key or something. I don't know. Yeah, it was that guy. And I open the door and it's my friend and he's in tears. He's dressed for church. And like, what's going on? And it took him a few minutes to find his voice. He said, we've known each other almost our whole lives. And here he blamed me. He goes, you've got me into a lot of things. And I've gone through a lot of things with you, and I've left a lot of those things behind, but now you've brought me into something I can't let go of. He had come to this thing that he was invited to. He had heard about this Jesus in a way he had never heard before. Jesus said, come. And he did. And he told Jesus in whatever way he needed to do that, what his needs were, and the Lord said, your faith has saved you. He knew then this Jesus was not just some concept that we read about. It's not just something that, you know, special people do by going off to church. It's not something that is for others. This Jesus is for everyone, even someone like himself, even someone like myself, who can look at their history and say, I'm pretty sure he won't want anything to do with me. But this healing power of Jesus Christ is still the same today. If you come near him and you see him, you can go crying out to Jesus, and he will say, come to me. And I always see that as a reference to our understanding of the covenant on this side of the cross. Come to me. Because he's done his part of the covenant. He's gone as far as he can go. And now we can either come to him, or we can walk by, or we can let him walk by. But at some point, if we are invited in, which we always are, and we come to him and pour out that which is within us, we will discover his mercy. And we will find the healing of Jesus Christ. There are times in my life where I don't know how to pray. I mean, we got a book. It's got a lot of good prayers in it. But sometimes there's just nothing that's working. My default. I use beads. So if you see me doing this, that's what's happening in my mind. I'm passing these beads over my side of my finger, and I'm praying. And I will often say the same thing, sometimes 100 times. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because sometimes that's all I got. Have mercy on me. And he always does. The invitation to come to him is always there. I just don't always know it. But when I know it and I come, I always receive his mercy. That's where the healing is. We have to be willing to go to him as Bartimaeus was willing to go to him. We may want to, maybe we have finally reached a place of such desperation that we will jump up and run to him to say, have mercy on me. Maybe we're afraid to do it. Maybe we just want to get kind of close, but not so close that things change in our world. But he really wants us to come. So if you find yourself wandering through this life, thinking that church is somewhat of a good thing, evidenced by your presence here today, some of us are crying out and seeking his mercy. Some of us are living in that grace of his love and mercy. And some of us are still wondering if it's real. And maybe some of us know it's real, but just don't want to deal with it today. And next week, we'll have all those same sort of places, all those same feelings. It'll just be different ones of us feeling that way. Amen? We come and go. We do well, we fall apart. But the one thing that never changes is the opportunity that is there for us, that Bartimaeus took the chance of just crying out and discovering it was for him. This Jesus would heal him just as he will heal you. This healing story of Bartimaeus is our healing story too. He received his visual sight. He saw it. Again, his eyes were opened. But it wasn't just his eyes, was it? He wasn't a follower of Jesus before. He had heard about him, clearly, or he wouldn't have known to cry out. He had probably heard the stories. And his initial grabbing the hold of Jesus, I suspect, had absolutely everything to do with being able to see, because that's what he asked for. But he got more, didn't he? He not only received the physical healing of his sight, he also discovered an opening of his heart, a true opening of his eyes to see that Jesus was indeed, or is indeed, the Son of God, the healer. And he followed. My friend, to this day, all these years later, continues to follow Jesus. He since has had 4 children who he has taught to follow Jesus. The life that once was is so far gone. The people who know him now would never know that it existed. That's the scary part, isn't it? What if I come so close to this healing power of Jesus that I don't recognize myself? So we come kind of close, because we don't want to turn into one of those crazy Jesus freaks. I never wanted to be one of those until I came too close in my desperation. And I said, well, I'll try it. I'll cry out to him, see if he will bother with me. Will he have mercy on me? And he did. And now I strive to follow. Sometimes I wander off. That's why I have to wear the collar. I'm on a very short leash. I can't get away. If what I'm saying to you, you know to be true, and you're living in the great joy, thanks be to God. If you hear what I'm saying and you know it to be true, and you forgot the joy of living in his grace and mercy, Jesus is saying, come to me. If you are an observer of the Jesus freaks, be honest with what keeps you from coming closer. Be honest with yourself, and then bring that to Jesus and put it on the table before him and see if he doesn't offer you grace and mercy so that you can find the joy that he intends for you. That's the invitation. The invitation is to healing. The example today in the gospel is of the fullness of his healing, not just the physical, but the spiritual, the fullness of Jesus Christ. He never just takes care of somebody's physical issue. He always converts them back into the fullness of knowing that he is the healer, the Son of God, and to the place of understanding and knowing that they belong to him. How we respond to it is up to us. But his response will always be the same. And for that, I will always say, thanks be to God. Amen.